Hey, it's Moreno, and this is a special edition of the Binge Music Cast. It was recorded at the Roots and Blues and Barbecue Fest in Columbia, Missouri. I was joined by my buddy Chris from WannabeTheComic.com. He does a webcomic where he reviews new music. It was a three-day music and barbecue fest, and we had a great time. And in this show, we recap each day what bands we saw, who impressed us, how the food was, all the delicious beer we drank, and we also give some of our highs and some of our lows. So I hope you guys enjoy. Make sure to listen to the BingeCast every Monday on BingeMedia.net.
This one here is about a little place I like to go to drink malt liquor. Y'all got malt liquor here in Spain? It don't matter. You'll know what it's all about once you hear this song. A little thing called Soul City, y'all. We're going to get down to it right now. Is a big or your dick is tatted. It don't matter if you eat dog treat, if you show up early, I can buy a too late good soul. City! Oh, come on. Soul! City! The mosquitoes are big, but the women are big, and the pantyhose make them look like one. Ooh, by the knees, they got the water just soaked in your mouth. Soul! City! Soul! Yeah! Come on, city! Just a little joint with a roof on top. I'm sitting on the track, I'm sitting black.
Sibilants.
I'm leaving all this in.
Ooh-wah, ooh-wah.
Humana, 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 humana.
And with that, this is the Binge Music Cast on BingeMedia.net. In association with...
Wannabe, a six-panel music blog.
I am Moreno of BingeMedia.net. You know that by now. And I'm with... Wannabe's chief artist and really only employee.
Sole proprietor of Wannabe. Yes, Chris Prunkle.
We are here at the Roots and Blues and Barbecue Fest, Music Fest in Columbia, Missouri. It's day two. We wanted to record on the 5.5 hour drive up or down to Missouri from Chicago, but technical difficulties didn't allow us to.
It's a shame. I think we had some good random conversations as well.
We basically did a 5.5 hour podcast for nobody. Yeah. Nobody to listen to.
So what's different?
Nothing whatsoever. Like you said, it is day two. It's probably about 1:30. In about 15 minutes, the Budos band is going to be playing on the Great Southern Bake stage.
Never heard of it.
Nope.
Nope.
The stage.
Sure. The stage,
or the
yeah.
Bank.
Well, I've heard of the stage. We were here last night. It would definitely be the bank.
That's true. Yeah, so yesterday was day one of the fest, and it fucking really kicked off like an unbelievable night and hopefully an unbelievable fest.
Now, with that, I'm just going to start with big. Who was your favorite of yesterday?
Probably Nathaniel Rateliff.
I'm with you. You know, I told you before that I'd seen him a few times doing his solo stuff, just him and acoustic guitar, and wasn't sure how it would carry over. You know, his last album, his first one with the Night Sweats, really caught me off guard how much he changed his sound for it. And as good as that album was, I really thought that live performance just solidified how awesome he is and that band is.
Yeah, I didn't expect the energy to be that high and for him to put on the performance that he did. I don't really have anything to base it off of. I just didn't expect it to be a fucking rocking good time.
Yeah, and like the other thing I really like too is, I mean, it was a Friday night. It's later, you know. Friday's usually the slowest days at shows and everything too. But I mean, that crowd was into it. He definitely had the biggest crowd of anybody we saw yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a great vibe. Everything about this place has been just a really solid vibe. But yeah, yesterday was great.
Yeah. Let's see. So we saw Houndmouth, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, and Nathaniel Rateliff. Three fucking classic performances. I think they were all pretty much on top of their game. We were talking about, you can hear the Buddhist band in the background. That's not me farting in the wind.
Although I put a whistle in my butt.
It does sound like that, though. Yeah, we mentioned yesterday and this morning when we were talking about it, how Houndmouth, they were the first band that we saw play, and they got rid of one of their members. The chick member is no longer there. And
I feel really bad we don't know her name.
I know, it's awful. Well, she's a chick. Doesn't matter.
Well, we know your listenership.
Yeah. Yeah, but the lead guitar playing from the singer and obviously lead guitarist was pretty fucking phenomenal. That's something that doesn't come across on the albums, like, at all.
Yeah, I commented to you. I mean, I've listened to the albums. I've been following them kind of since that first EP came out. I don't even know what to say about that saxophone that's kicking in the background. All of a sudden, the villain just stepped in the room. I never picked up on how good he really was at guitar, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, he had a couple of solos that pretty much killed the crowd.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And they had a lot of energy. They were pretty tight band. And
a lot of members, too. I didn't realize they had that many members in the band.
Yeah, they added the horns to their live performances, I think, because I don't really hear them in their latest album.
No, and the double saxophone was an interesting touch, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it really did add some depth back there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so they pretty much killed it. They played their big single Sedona, crowd went crazy, and they had a lot of fun up on the stage, you could tell.
Yeah,
like just fucking with each other and everything.
And I'm trying to look up what the female member's name is right now, and
do they remove it from Wikipedia?
They according to Wikipedia, they only have three members and none of them are a girl, so
okay.
And they don't have past members, so yeah. Don't know what to tell you. It's not our fault.
She's been wiped clean from the Houndmouth history.
Some bass for it. That was Budo's band, too.
There you go. afterwards, we stuck around in the VIP section and
Let's talk about that. We're getting spoiled.
Yeah, totally.
This has been absolutely unreal. It was a lady I met through doing Wannabe that reached out and asked if I'd want to come down and cover it, and I had no idea what Roots and Blues and Barbecue was before this.
Mm-hmm.
Looked it up, and to have this big of a lineup for Columbia, Missouri, and it is a college town, but if you're looking around it, which you guys can't because you're listening, you don't have visuals.
So we'll just paint a picture.
Yeah. We're young here.
Yeah. And we're not young.
Yeah. And for a college town, I'm actually a little surprised that there isn't a younger audience here.
Well, like you said, like Friday is kind of like slowest True. Of a fest, so maybe tonight.
But I felt like if anything, Rateliff would be the one that would really speak to a younger crowd too, because it probably has the biggest radio hit of any of the bands that are playing here.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was a little shocking, but so we were asked to come down and you know review the fest. So we figured we'd do a podcast review as well as doing the my traditional Wannabe stuff, but I just figured we'd have press passes.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal, you know, we do press stuff, maybe have a press tent, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole Hog experience, which is their super VIP level,
yeah,
has been unreal. They cordoned off about maybe the 15 feet in front of the stage,
yeah,
just for VIP members to go ahead and stand in. And it's awesome. I mean, it's allowed us a chance to get all the way up front and not have to fight the crowds to actually get there. And it's an experience I am not used to at all.
And the way it's set up, too, so it's the VIP section is kind of gated off on
stage left and stage right, and in the middle is the photographer's pit where they can move around. Well, in front of the VIP, you get all the photographer's pit, and in the middle, it breaks up the two VIP sections where the photographers can go from the front of the stage to
the sound booth.
The sound booth, yeah, that's right.
So that was amazing. You know, it's great. They have tons of food here, obviously, mm-hmm. with a name like barbecue in there. But the food's been fantastic. The beer has been great. A lot of local craft beers here.
Yep.
In the VIP section, in the porta potties, they have potpourri.
Yes.
That was pretty swanky.
With the signs that say, "It smells nice in here."
Yeah.
And they weren't lying. There's no false in advertising there.
They don't even bother with the rest of the plebeians. I think I used that right. out here, though, yeah, their porta potties don't have that. But even those didn't smell too bad.
You mean the losers?
Yeah. We're just talking about the toilets. No worries.
Somebody just walked by just laughing at us.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's important stuff. Just so people know, yeah, we just kind of popped a squat in the middle of the grass and decided to start recording. Mm-hmm. So
we're going to be recording right fucking here.
Yeah, it's it'll be interesting.
Yeah, what I was saying with the VIP section. So on the left VIP section is the easiest to get to. And during St. Paul and the Broken Bone, during Houndmouth, we looked over to the right side and it was completely empty while the left side was fucking packed. So we're like, all right, for St. Paul, let's just go on the other side, which is what we wound up doing. We were right there on the rail, like 15 feet in front of him.
Yeah, it was perfect. Every time he'd step to the right side of the stage, I mean, he was right there. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And again, that goes to that whole spoil thing, because last time I saw St. Paul, it was a sold-out show at Talia Hall. And, mm-hmm. I mean, it was great, great view, great sound, everything. But yeah, you weren't getting anywhere near that close.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the act that took over after Houndmouth, and immediately he just fucking kills it from the first song.
100%. His energy, and I think we've talked in our 5.5-hour ride down here a bit about him and a bit about the new album that came out. And one of the things that, as good as they may ever be on their albums, to capture that live stage presence, the energy, the emotion,
mm-hmm.
I do feel so much of that is lost in the record, because my guess is they're recording all their parts separately and then putting it all together in post. And so because of that, the way he feeds off of his other musicians, the crowd, it mm-hmm. just, it doesn't get captured.
Right.
So yeah, that's awesome. And I will say the live act is really the way to see them. So anybody's out there and you just want to see a good live band, you don't even need to know the
and
songs,
they,
just go.
They fucking tour all the time. They're
yep.
always on the road. And now that they just released their latest, you're bound to catch them somewhere.
Yeah, they're going to be touring that much more at this point.
You know what? I'd say they're a 5.5-hour drive. That's worthy.
I would agree.
I'd go with that.
Yeah. I mean, so far, everything's been on point. And even some of the acts that I haven't known, just sounding great, just chill. The other interesting thing about this fest, as I'm looking at it right now, is they allow you to bring in chairs. And so they have, like, a cordoned-off white line you can't go past. So it's really interesting, especially early in the day before the bigger crowds come, where you just have this crowd amassing in chairs about 150 feet back from the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I would think for a band that might make it a little tough. It's like when you go to a small show and everybody's staying way far away from the stage.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
begging people to come up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're going through a bit of that,
yeah, it's
too.
Just so dense with chairs. And, like, when you first get here, there's nobody in front. Like, it's completely empty.
Yeah.
It looks like the outfield, like at a baseball
it, totally.
Stadium.
Yeah.
Like, it's just completely green. There's nobody fucking there.
Well, and even looking around, so just taking this in right now, and we had mentioned we were at the Great Southern Bank stage. I feel like they should give us money because we're giving them promotions here.
At least a free checking account.
Yeah.
Come on, GCB, GSB, what?
But I'm even noticing the way the stage actually fits in right amongst the trees. Like, I mean, I'm sure helping the sound with it, too. It just kind of creates this perfect canal right up to the stage. And it's really neat.
Yeah, this is a pretty cool field. I mean, we've both been to Lollapalooza. You just came back from, or not came back, you just experienced Riot Fest last weekend. And, you know, this is it's a nice, small, quaint field. I mean, it's not huge.
No, it's kind of perfect. Like, it's definitely got the fest atmosphere.
Yeah.
But I like that it only has two stages. It's not overwhelming with, like, Riot Fest at six stages. I don't even know how many Lala has now. You know, it's two stages. They're on opposite ends of the park, but you can easily go back and forth between the two if you want.
Yeah, it's probably not even a 5-minute walk over there.
And it's perfect because they have it where it's set up where if you're going to get to one stage to the other, you just kind of walk through the food section, beer, so you can load up on your way back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like the Buddha's band is starting, but there was no announcement or anything.
No. Or this is still warm. Yeah, no, this definitely sounds like they're starting up.
Nice. Thanks for playing background for us, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate that shit.
This is good. Hopefully it, how's it seem to be coming through? Still okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not pulling too much?
All
right, good.
No, they're not, well, we got microphones, and they have microphones.
This is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, where I made the supervillain comment before, like...
Yeah.
This makes you feel like a good movie soundtrack going on.
It's a little
right
Kill Bill-ish.
Yeah. It's going to be hard. I got to talk and pay attention to the band at the same time.
Yeah.
I feel like this is bad commentary.
It is. Hey, listen with us, everybody. Yeah. This is amazing. Now, we were mentioning yesterday, we kept on talking about it yesterday, how, like, fucking chill, how super chill this fest is. Like, everyone is really nice, super friendly. Conversational, and for as drunk as people were yesterday, I mean, there was no trouble, no drama,
it was pure polite, everybody just into the music, just really taking it all in. And I think a big part of that too is there's so much space just to sit down, to relax. Like, you don't feel like you're amassing crowds for every second of the day.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's not to say it's not crowded as can be. It's just they set aside a huge park to hold this in where, I mean, this is probably the same, maybe about a little smaller than the park Riot Fest was at. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, again, they were cramming six stages into that. So it's just nonstop people.
Yeah, there's a lot of room to breathe here. Yeah. I mean, we're sitting pretty far back, and we got a clear view of the stage. There's a big screen. That goes back and forth between the band members and stuff. But, like, there's nobody around us, really. It's not crowded. It's still early, but I feel like even yesterday, last night, if we were in this position, like, we would still not be crowded.
No, we easily could have just chilled here, no problem. The trumpet player is dingling his horn.
He is dingling his horn.
I don't know, I just decided to go into commentary mode. I didn't have any specifics to say, but as far as dingling his horn, I'm sure you heard it, and I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know when you dingle a horn. Come on. This is the Buddha's band. They started at 1:45. I think at right around 2, we're going to go over to the other stage, the Missouri Lottery stage. And check out Southern Culture on the Skids.
Maybe they can sponsor us, too.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I feel like, because we were listening to Southern on the way down here, another kind of movie theme soundtrack.
Definitely.
Band.
Yeah, that one, the one album they have, Zombified, is this great, like, mixture. You know, it's got some rockabilly, it's got some surf going on in it, well, with kind of a horror theme in the background. It's really solid. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And I've always only heard good things about them live. Never gotten to see them live, but...
And I think we're going to stay there for the Oh Hellos at 4 o'clock. And after that is Sam Bush at 5:45. Devil Makes 3 at 7:30. And 9:15, the biggie for you, Jason Isbell.
Yes, which really stoked because as we've been talking about the setting and letting you guys know, I had seen him in Chicago not long ago, and seeing him in Chicago, Chicago theater, jam-packed, you know, a great experience, great sound, but the idea of being able to get as close as we can here to him, just mind-blowing, completely different experience.
You know, and even going back to yesterday, Nathaniel Rateliff closed out the day, and it was pretty packed in that VIP section, and everybody was super chill.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's dancing, bumming their heads, you know, because it's packed, because it's a concert, you get a few elbows, but, like, nobody took it the wrong way or anything.
And even with that, what I noticed is, like, if somebody bumped you, they'd actually, oh, I'm sorry, and everything. Yeah. We're normally at a show, it's you just assume there's going to be bumping because they're passing through and trying to get by you, and you're jam-packed shoulder to shoulder. But this, it was just, it was comfortable. It was nice, and to have somebody just be like, oh, I'm sorry I bumped you or whatnot, it was great.
Yeah, people are really nice here.
Is this Indigata DeVita? There was
I hope
bit,
so.
Oh, this sure sounds like it.
It does kind of sound like it.
Like it's bomb, not, bomb. But, or they're doing their own thing, but.
It's those first two notes.
Now all of a sudden I'm going to start singing Simpsons and going, in the Garden of Eden, baby. I can't sing. I apologize to all you fuckers listening to this.
Let's see. Well, the one I'm really waiting for tonight is Shovels and Rope at 7 o'clock on the GSB stage. I'm just going to go GSB.
There we go.
Really looking forward
to
that.
Isn't that a drug, GSB or something?
GHB.
GHB, okay. Close enough.
Shovels and Rope, South Carolina.
Yeah. Southern Carolina would be like if there's just one Carolina and you were in the southern part of it. Kind of like Southern Illinois.
Yeah, Shovels and Rope, Southern Carolina duo, husband and wife duo. They just released an album. It's streaming on NPR for free. Haven't listened to it yet, so I'm excited to hear the new stuff and also hopefully hear some old favorites. They're at 7 o'clock and I think and Grace Potter at 8:45, but we have kind of a conflict there.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I would have loved to see her. I know I should be way more familiar with her stuff than I am. We're listening to some of her last album on the way down here, and it was really good. It was different than I was expecting, different from the other stuff I kind of know of hers. But, would have loved to see that, but it's just no competition with Isabel for me. I can't help it.
Absolutely.
That said, I will say she had some of the coolest shirts over in that merch area.
She has the best shirts over there, I think. And when are the – oh, the Avett Brothers are tomorrow, right?
Avett Brothers are tomorrow. They're the big headliner tomorrow. No conflicts with them. Sole headliner.
Let's see. Who else? G-Love and Special Sauce.
Yep.
Chump Change we listened on the way down here, but I wasn't really digging.
No.
I wasn't really digging
them. There was some weird stuff. I feel like, too, I had a couple just random things that were in there.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was one album, it would have seemed more consistent, but it seemed a little all over the place with what I had randomly thrown in the playlist.
The Blind Boys of Alabama, we're both looking forward to that.
Definitely.
Blues Traveler. I hope they just play the two songs that I know and then we can leave.
Yeah.
And then Ben Folds.
So with Blues Traveler, you know, they were big and they were well known for having a larger front man.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I had gone to see a Soundgarden show in Chicago. And it was a really weird lineup. Didn't know any of the opening acts. Ended up being that last Soundgarden show for a while before they broke up.
Oh, yeah.
I swear this story is going somewhere. And the opening bands were Rocket from the Crypt, who were really weird to be there.
I like
fantastic band. Did not fit that bill at all. And the other opening band was a band called Tenderloin. And Tenderloin's another one where you could have thought it was Blues Traveler by the look of them. Their lead singer was a really large, shirtless dude up there. But whenever I think of Blues Traveler, I automatically go to Tenderloin because of those similarities of large frontman. But Tenderloin, I gotta say, a band that I don't know if they ever got huge. But holy hell, I take them over Blues Traveler any day.
Nice.
So just a random recommendation to people, too, if you want to look them up. I don't even know necessarily how to explain them, but just give it a listen.
Give it a goddamn listen.
Yep.
Stop bothering us. All right, we may check in later on tonight after the shows and do a quick review of that, or we'll do it tomorrow.
Yep, and I'll hopefully have a little bit more caffeine next time because I will tell you this, I'm still a little out of it this morning.
Yeah, I'm dragging ass. So we'll talk to you guys in a little bit.
Check it.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Day 3 of the Roots and Blues Barbecue Fest. Oh, we just talked for like 5 minutes and we weren't even recording. But we are now. The Who's playing. They're pretty good. I like these guys.
In case the audience missed it a couple minutes ago, I called them overrated.
They're totally overrated.
Completely, yeah. CSI did it way better.
So, yeah. So, anyway, day 2 ended amazingly. For one of us.
Yes.
And that one being you.
Yes. The Isbell thing, though you agreed about the quality of the skill.
Yeah.
Not as much your thing.
Yeah, it just doesn't connect with me for some reason. I have no idea why. Maybe I just need to sit with it a little longer. I don't know.
It easily could be, and I could totally get that, where, it's a great performance, but to really let the lyrics and everything else shine, I guess I could see having to sit down with the album where things are a little bit more toned back. He turns things up live, and he definitely switches up the stylings of every song.
Yeah, yeah,
which, for me as a big fan, is awesome because it's like every performance is unique. You can play the exact same songs, but there's still going to be some different things going on there.
And he was fucking shredding on guitar yesterday.
It was absolutely ridiculous, and... Yeah, between him and Sadler, his guitarist, I mean, the two of them, there's so much skill in that band on the guitar. It's sick.
Yeah, his backing band is fucking phenomenal.
Yep. Yeah. So even though he's released his last two albums as just Jason Isbell, the 400 Units is backing band, and he was with them on the previous albums he did solo. Okay, technically, I guess it wouldn't be a solo because he added them in, but being a former Drive-By Truckers member, it was the first time he was using his namesake at the front.
Oh, gotcha.
And really, the last two albums are the two albums he's done since being sober. So, and I don't know if that played a part in why he just went down to going by just Jason Isbell. They became a little bit more personal. But dude got his shit together, and holy hell, man can fucking play.
Yeah. Yeah, he can.
Yeah, and so it was another thing, too, being out in Missouri, far from the congestion of Chicago, it was amazing to actually be at a show and to be right up against the rail seeing him that close.
Just right on it.
Yeah. If I was seeing that in Chicago, if I wanted to get anywhere near it, it would be at an auditorium with seats.
Yeah.
And I'd be paying $200 at least for
one ticket.
Yeah,
it's fucking ridiculous.
And I got to see it for free. That's pretty insane.
You're actually getting paid to see Jason Isbell.
Yeah.
Right in the front row. Yeah.
Life's not so bad, man.
No. Let's see. Yesterday we started off with, going back to... Deke Dickerson, we heard a little bit while we were eating.
Yep.
But afterwards, Southern culture on the skids. What a fucking great time that was.
That was a blast. And I've
it came out of nowhere,
yeah,
too, for us.
I've listened to their albums. I mean, they're fine. You know, they are what they are, definitely, and I'm sure they would say the same. There's some great surf guitar and things going on with it, but it's all about that live performance.
Yeah, yeah.
That was absolutely amazing. It helped that we were by Beetle Bob.
Beetle Bob, I don't think we've talked about Beetle Bob yesterday.
I don't think we did either.
So Beetle Bob is apparently a fixture in the greater St. Louis area, I'm guessing.
That's what I'm picking up on, yeah.
He shows up to gigs and just dances his fucking ass off.
And always wearing a suit. He's got it's got to be the mod haircut that gained him the Beetle part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he posted a picture, actually a little video of him versus a go-go dancer yesterday. And you know, it's amazing how many musicians were all like, "Oh shit, I didn't even know he was still around." It's,
yeah,
Beetle Bob.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I mean, this guy has made his rounds and definitely a scene star out here.
They brought him up on stage.
Yeah, he got to be Santo.
Yeah.
Which, holy hell, that was amazing.
That was so cool.
And dude really got into it. Like, that was just incredible. You can check out, we got pictures that'll be going up of that too. But basically, they made him put on a luchador mask and run around dancing on stage, pseudo assaulting.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
Yeah.
He was like mimicking touching the bass player's tits and everything.
Yeah, it was a little odd. They might know him. Hopefully,
right,
they do.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's a little bit of a relationship, mm-hmm, going on there. But I mean, he got completely into it, and man, when he got to yell Santo, what was it? Viva
El Santo.
There we go. I'm white, sorry. They throw a loss in there a lot. I'll just throw a loss in there, see if it works.
You just start ordering fucking tacos for some reason.
Yeah.
Those are the only words I know. Yeah, but apparently Santo is a ongoing thing in their live performances, because Eric King, who listens to the BingeCast and he's always around, got to play El Santo quite a few times. He was sharing pictures with us.
He had a belt.
He had a belt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude takes the Southern culture on the skid seriously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as they should.
Yeah. And, I mean, they threw fried chicken at the crowd. There was some of that went on.
Eight-piece box.
Yep.
What a fucking great name for a song. Eight-piece box of chicken. Then they throw chicken out to the crowd.
And we should add, it was their go-go dancers that were throwing chicken at the crowd. Who, I don't think they could have looked more repulsed grabbing greasy chicken and throwing it in the crowd.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah. They didn't look happy about
no.
it. They're like, fuck, this wasn't in the contract. They had a trilogy of songs about dirt. That was hilarious.
Yep. Trilogy of songs about food.
About food, yeah. Yep.
The banana pudding song, that was a damn good song.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun. Yeah, I was just, that's just pure entertainment. It was a complete blast. And I think at a festival setting, too, that's just awesome. They're playing Shuba's, a tiny venue in Chicago this week.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
I'd be interested to see how that carries over. I could see it being completely packed,
uh-huh,
crowd being into it and being, mm-hmm, insane, or just some of that energy dying.
Yeah. Well, they seem to inspire, like, a loyal following just because their live performance is just crazy off the fucking hook.
Yeah. And it just, I mean, it's the songs in terms of lyrics. It's more about just fun sing-along.
Yeah,
it reminds
me,
like,
mm-hmm,
Campfire-esque type fun shit.
Mm-hmm.
But some great instrumental playing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, his guitar playing, when he started going into those surf guitar riffs, it was just a blast.
Absolutely.
And then their drummer stands in place.
That was weird, yeah. So he stands and plays and has a, it looks like a huge floor tom that he uses as a kick drum. I've never seen anything like that.
And it completely works.
Mm-hmm.
It just, and I think too, you can dance, maybe move a little bit more, you aren't, and it's rigid.
Yeah.
But it's gotta be tiring as hell doing that.
Oh, fuck yeah.
But yeah, I was really impressed with the way they set everything up and the way they, especially early on a Saturday morning,
mm-hmm,
the second day of the show, I mean, just really commanded the crowd. The crowd got completely into it and just had a blast.
Absolutely. Yeah, they were great. They were definitely a highlight of yesterday.
Yesterday had a lot.
Yeah. Well, Shovels and Rope is a band that I really wanted to see yesterday. And but still, like, Southern Culture was probably the biggest highlight for me.
It just came
out of nowhere.
Yeah. As much as I love them, and as much as they were a huge highlight, mm-hmm. I gotta say, Oh Hello's has been the biggest surprise.
Yeah, that was a huge surprise. Yeah.
That I was not expecting at all. We had been listening to a playlist just on Spotify where I threw a bunch of the artists that are playing this weekend in it. And they came up a few times, and I didn't know them at all before. And it was just kind of like, oh, these guys sound good. Okay, we'll have to check them out.
Yeah.
And they weren't really playing up against anyone and was not expecting the presentation that we received.
No, you kind of categorize them perfectly by saying it's kind of like the folk answer to Arcade Fire.
Totally, yeah.
Just, they have such a layered, textured sound, and a lot of their songs build into a crescendo, and then, like, they're all super young.
Yep.
Just, like, flailing like Muppets.
Just high energy. Yeah. I mean, there's 9 members. We were counting yesterday. There's 2 drummers, 3 mm-hmm. guitarists, a banjo player, a fiddler, and a singer. I don't know if I missed anybody, but...
No, the female singer. Yep. And also one of the guitar players is the lead. Well. Yeah, sings as well, yeah.
So, and they kind of go back and forth on it. So it's just everything. It's different elements playing off of each other, and mm-hmm. everything's very unique. Just fantastic. And then, yeah, to see them when those songs build, and as soon as it hits that crescendo, and they all just mm-hmm. start going mad on stage, it's just, it's beautiful. Like, one thing I love about seeing live bands is when live bands, you can truly tell how much they're enjoying it up there.
Yeah, and those guys had a great time.
My God, like, every bit of what they were doing, I mean, just smiling, having mm-hmm. fun, and it was like, they absolutely love everything that's going on right now. It changes your opinion in the crowd, too.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't already liking them, it would have made me happy just to see that.
Yeah, I gotta say, across the board, all the acts seem like they're having a really good time.
Yeah, which, based on how, I mean, we've been as observers here, it's a fest that's just really friendly.
Yeah.
It's chill, it's cool, which we kind of mentioned even yesterday. It's every bit of it. It's a really nice time.
Yeah, I was thinking after like the first 2 songs, maybe 3 songs, of the Oh Hello set, the lead singer, guitar player is a big boy. And he's like, where's the funnel cake? Cause I could smell that. And everyone points. He's like, okay. Cause the hardest smell to play through is that of funnel cake.
And all I was thinking is, with that, I'm like, okay, I get that. You're upstage, on stage, you're hungry, everything else. But I'm like, I'm sorry. If someone farted they were drinking all night the night before.
Yeah.
And they just let a nasty fart. That would be a lot harder for me. I don't care how good any food is or how awesome I thought it was.
Yeah.
The smell of ass would really make me not want to inhale to sing.
That'd be hard to play through.
Yeah. So that's like it's actually part of the reason I have this beard, is it acts as a natural filter to those type of smells.
Yeah, but then it gets stuck in there, no?
No, because I usually have the beard fill of smells of Portillo's and other greasy meats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's my essence, if you will.
Your meat essence, what?
Yep. Ode to Chris.
Okay, who else was yesterday? Olo's.
You saw Shovels and Rope.
Saw Shovels and Rope. 2-piece band from Southern Carolina, as we're now calling South Carolina, Southern Carolina. When you make a mistake, folks, just own it.
Yep.
Just fucking own it and roll with it, baby. They were fantastic. They played a couple of new songs off their new album.
I can't do it.
Which is streaming live on
she's desperately
NPR.
Trying to fill her
Oh, is that what the
what are they even called?
Oh, what are they called?
Yeah.
Like blow up burrito sofas?
Yeah.
No, that's what they look like.
I like that. The burrito sofas. You gotta fill up the burrito sofa and trying to put air in and just not working.
Yeah.
You know. Unlike a typical burrito, which just puts air out the other end.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
It's clever.
Uh-huh. I just came up with that right now.
It's really good. It's really good. Holy shit. This fucking first beer is hitting the spot. Also, Breed of Sofas, great band name.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, so Shovels and Rope, their new shit is streaming for free on NPR, and that's coming out soon. They have one, which I'm going to imagine is their single, on Spotify. They haven't released the whole album on Spotify yet. But they, again, another band that just fucking brought it. The crowd loved them. The crowd knew all their stuff. We're shouting out names from shit like each of their solo records, which was really cool. And they mentioned they're going to have to come back and play because they had a tight set and they didn't really go off the reservation that much like I've seen them do in the past.
Now, that was the one act so far where we actually split up a bit for it.
Yeah.
You went to go see Shovels and Rope, which I had actually seen them back when they had opened for Isbell in Chicago a couple months ago. But I really wanted to mark my territory on the rail for Isbell, so I stayed to watch Devil Makes Three, who I liked anyway. So it's not like it was a burden to stay there for that. But just absolutely awesome. Old school type music.
Okay.
All acoustic instruments, stand-up bass, which I always love. Bass.
Sure.
The banjo player has a regular banjo, and he also has a tenor banjo.
Really?
Which is really interesting to hear, yeah.
Nice.
So it almost looks like I don't know my instrument parts, but I'm going to call it the neck, right? The neck? Yeah. So the neck of it looks more like a mandolin's neck. It's real short.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to the typical banjo neck, which is more like a standard guitar, a little bit longer.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it was just, I mean, awesome stuff. And I like that they had pointed out they're from California. And they had pointed out the fact that even though they play music that most people wouldn't associate with it, it does, you know, it drives out of their love for punk and their background in punk. And he talked about, which I've always felt too, the correlation between folk music and punk music.
Right, yeah.
It's all, you know, heavily laid in politics and beliefs and feeling outcasted. And really trying to say something that you feel is important.
The whole DIY aspect of it, too.
And he mentioned that as well.
Goes back and forth.
And he talked about how when he was, when they started off back in 2002, so they've been around for a while, they actually couldn't get gigs or anything else, so they'd play DIY shows with all their punk friends.
Oh, that's cool.
And they started to win over a following with even a punk community. They're playing with like thrash bands and shit, but still winning over just because their energy and honestly their talent. So they slowly built it that way and created a following for themselves, and just great stuff.
Nice. Well, it looks like they got their burrito sofa.
Yep, they filled it up.
Not all the way, but it looks like it's
working. Oh, he tried to lay on it. He kind of fell off over there.
Yep.
Yeah, he's trying. It doesn't look quite comfortable.
Yeah, this incline isn't working in his favor either.
You got to put it the other way. Go with the incline, not against it.
Okay. Yeah, so after Shovels and Rope, I headed over to your side of the fest. Checked out the first couple of Isbell songs, and then my old ass went back to the tent to sit down.
I'm kind of disappointed in you. You had to sit down a couple times yesterday.
There's no more reminder of how old you are than a fucking 3-day fest of just standing around. It's like, fuck, I'm old. This sucks. I'm popping Advil. It's the worst.
I gotta say, I'm still doing well. This has been, I mentioned to you yesterday, it's been way easier on me than Riot Fest was. I just feel like I'm not deciding whether Riot Fest was kind of breaking me in for this or whatnot, but not nearly as tired. Legs aren't dragging as much. Could be that it's cooler out, too. We've had perfect weather for this.
Yeah.
So where Riot Fest was definitely a lot warmer, taking a lot more out of you.
Yeah.
But even with the walks home after, I mean, we got about, 20-minute walk back to the hotel from this?
Yeah.
Even with that afterwards, just doing good. I'm liking this. Hopefully I feel that way for the six-hour ride back home tomorrow.
No shit. Yeah, I mean, like, when we're walking and stuff, it's fine, but just fucking standing there is fucking rough.
I do notice I'm even wearing good shoes for this shit, but I have to keep on switching up my feet.
Yep. We're waiting for the Blind Boys of Alabama to come on. They should in another couple of minutes, so hopefully you guys get to hear a little bit of that.
You know, one other thing I was thinking about that I wanted to mention with this fest that's really impressed me is their set times.
Yeah,
most fests, you know, they usually have it where your headliners will get, you know, an hour, hour 15, but all the opening bands are stuck to, with about a half hour. Where here, everybody's getting that hour and 15, so it's everybody's really getting a true full set.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like you're just getting that taste. Absolutely loving that fact, especially with, you know, Southern Culture and the Oh Hellos, bands that we aren't as familiar with, to get them in all their glory.
Yeah.
It was just great yesterday.
Did Ratliff play an encore? I don't remember.
He didn't.
He didn't.
No.
Isbell did.
Isbell did. Which, well, one song encore.
One
which
song
even
encore,
that, it looked like he might not have done it as an encore, like, but some of the guys were kind of walking off because the guy came out to bring him his acoustic guitar right before that last song, and he just kind of, he's like, oh, we'll wait a sec.
Yeah.
And just, they took a break. Jimbo got his cigarette and, you know, came back out.
I wonder if Grace Potter, I don't think she did an encore. She was after Shovels and Rope, and she was the last act opposite Isbell. She started maybe a half hour before he did.
Yeah.
But it did, from what other people have said, it didn't seem like there was she had an encore.
It is a real shame because I, from everything here, she was great. I would have loved to see that. I mean, there was no way I was missing
Isbell.
There's
no way you were fucking missing that. Missing
And I don't regret it for a second. She could have been the greatest thing in the world. I wouldn't regret it. But I do wish I could have seen that if it wasn't opposite because just the way people were talking about her and the way I've always heard about her, too. She's supposed to put on a great show. And she plays a flying V.
Yeah.
Which, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, you should play a flying V. Grace Potter.
Yep. Now, if she dressed as a flying nun and played a flying V, that'd be pretty
She'd
impressive.
She'd be flying high. Speaking of flying high, where's Kupka when you need him?
Yeah. Kupka could be here smoking with all the old hippies.
Yeah, which there are a fucking ton here.
Yeah, which is kind of awesome. I can't remember if we mentioned that yesterday either, but just like how young we feel here.
Yeah.
Oh, we did mention it, but it's carried over and through every day, and it'll be interesting to see today. It feels like there's a few younger bands playing today.
Yeah, yep.
Where if they bring in that college crowd that hasn't been here yet.
Yeah, I'm wondering how packed out the Avett Brothers are going to be tonight because they're closing out the fest.
Yeah. And they're the only ones playing at that time, too. So it'll definitely be interesting. It's going to be an earlier night.
Yeah. They go on at 7:30. A few of the other bands playing today. G11 Special Sauce goes on before them. Like we said, we're waiting for Blind Boys of Alabama to go on in the next few minutes. Blues Traveler and then Ben Folds closes out the other side of the stage.
Yeah. We'll be missing those.
Yeah. I don't know if we'd be missing them.
That's true. Ben Folds might put on a good show. Maybe Blues Traveler does too. Just not my thing.
Yeah, I just want them to play Run Around and Hook and then just peace out.
Yep, that's about it. Considering his last album, he had 303 all over it. Weird pairing.
303?
Yeah, they're a band. They do kind of like these weird dance tunes, some comedy in it.
Oh, gotcha.
LMFAO kind of stylings.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. They sang, they had something about do the Helen Keller and just wiggle your hips or something like that. It was one of their lyrics.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They're so gonna end up hitting somebody. We got some kids playing with a football, and their lack of control is showing.
They just almost nailed a couple who are laying down.
Yep.
That ball comes over here. Yeah. I'm gonna fucking take this little kid out.
This kid hooks it every time.
We're commentating on your catching skills, son.
Oh, that's a bad play. He should have brought that in his chest. They always tell you don't grab it with your hands. Bring it to your chest.
That's right. Oh, CCR's on right now. Yeah. I hope those guys have a long career.
Oh, man. It's a tiny football. Let's blame it on the tiny football.
It's a little football, yeah.
Yeah, they...
That other kid can't catch.
Their catching's weak.
Yeah. Come on, kids.
They aren't being enlisted by Mizzou anytime. Or maybe they will, because Mizzou, I mean, let's face it, they got crushed by LSU last night.
Yeah, by like 40 points.
So their career's not dead yet.
No. They could fucking walk on.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Now, the food has been amazing here.
Absolutely fantastic. I haven't had a bad thing.
Yeah, I haven't had a bad thing either. Surprisingly, this is a surprise, you guys. I had a taco yesterday.
Wow. Why you gotta be a stereotype, man?
Gourmet taco. It was a teriyaki steak taco with bacon aioli. It was fucking delicious.
Yeah, I gotta try one of those tacos today. That's definitely on the list of things.
So, you know, you leave your name, and they call you when it's ready. So yesterday, I'm waiting around, and I hear Alex. So I go up there, and then there's a guy right in front of me. Like, I'm like, dude, that's my fucking taco. And he's like, what? He's like, is this barbecue? And I'm like, is this teriyaki? And the guy who's handing it over, he's like, oh, like a fucking deer in headlights. I was like, dude, this just goes to show you how fucking hungry we both are.
Yeah.
We're ready to fucking throw down over a taco.
That's fantastic. What? We got Guns N' Roses is back up.
Oh, right, nice. Now.
Yeah.
Were
they playing all this music in between yesterday?
No, they weren't. It's a weird lead-in for Blind Boys of Alabama. Yeah. You'd think they'd be playing some, like, blues or something. They have a Sunday gospel brunch in the VIP tent. Not as good as we thought it would be.
Well, I think we got ripped off because we got here a little late, and they were out of biscuits by the time we got here.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
And that's, you know, we had the gravy. You know, it was fine.
Yeah.
The grits were good. Everything was good. It was just not as much.
Not as much.
So we had to go buy more food.
We basically ate an entire hog.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of days.
Yep. I think that's very easily said. It's they cook a good pig down here.
Yeah. The VIP tent for dinner the last couple of nights have been a whole hog, and they bring it out and they carve it up right in front of everybody. It's fucking awesome.
They got it smoked, so skin and all. They just kind of cut it open and start pulling stuff out. It's quite entertaining.
Yeah, when they brought it out, because I was in the tent at that time yesterday, when they brought it out, they laid it on the table, and like me and four other dudes are just watching the guy just carve it up. Like, this is interesting as fuck.
Yeah, there was a guy, because by the time we grabbed the food, there had all been quite a line for a while.
Yeah.
And he was really upset that somebody already ate the cheek.
Yeah.
Which I get. I mean, that's one of the sweet spots.
Yeah, for sure.
Some sweet meat and everything. But he was really upset. He's like, can you reach up in that head and grab me some cheek? And the guy had to explain, like, no, we already gave that away.
Nope. Hey, cheek okay. out. Yeah.
So you can hit
me back.
Oh, yeah.
These so the couple that's laying down who almost got hit by the football, like, they're just on high alert right
yeah.
now. They can't even relax.
Yeah. And this one kid definitely, he's overthinking how far he can throw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think all his friends got him beat. And I got to say, she's going to Mizzou.
Yeah, she's got an arm on her.
Yeah, and not only that, she could catch it.
Yeah.
She's got all these boys beat. It's the hands down. Yeah. It's, yeah. You can hit me back there. Yeah. No, that's pretty impressive. Good for her.
Mm-hmm. It looks like they're doing a sound test for Blind Boys of Alabama, which is good.
I'm going to refrain from jokes because I do respect their music. So I'm going to completely refrain
also, no
from
blind,
the easy jokes.
No blind jokes?
No.
Okay.
No. You can feel free.
I'm not above or below it.
No. What else have we been, has been going on? So, yeah, food.
Well,
we
met up with Chad C. yesterday.
Yeah.
Chad C. Lives in Kansas City, which is about 2 hours away from Columbia, where we're at now. And he made the trip, brought us a couple of 12-packs, which was very nice.
Yep. Did a little drinking with us.
Did a little drinking with us, talked about music, comics, movies.
Yeah.
How we normally do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Basically, he just fit right in.
Yeah. Had I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 double IPAs, which were fucking really, really good.
Yeah, you guys.
Yeah, we pounded those.
Yeah. You how many did you each have?
I think I had 5.
Holy shit.
They're like 9%.
After a full day of drinking.
Well, that's a thing. Like, we're fucking professionals. Like, yesterday was a success.
I'm a professional alcoholic,
that's
damn
right.
It.
No, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm a drunk. There's a difference.
I haven't given up yet.
Yeah, so we just basically drank all day yesterday and drank, kept it light with a, you know, 4.5% Mammut
yep.
ale that we're drinking now.
Yep. Which I'm empty on now.
And like we said, this whole fest is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yep.
So it was important to, one, be hydrated, two, be hydrated by beer, and have that beer be somewhat of a lighter beer.
Yeah.
No IPAs, no double IPA, nothing with too high of an alcohol percentage, because we had to last all fucking day.
Yeah. And, like, at least the first day, we only had a couple hours of this, so
yeah,
we didn't really have to abide by those rules. But, yeah, yesterday we did that, and the same thing for today, because, as I mentioned to you, I am not planning on driving home with a hangover tomorrow.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so by the time we got to the bar yesterday, I met up with Chad C., I was ready to just fucking get drunk. It's like, all right, now it's time to get drunk. And I got proper drunk.
Yeah, you did. You did well by that. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, when the bar closed, then we went back and we're drinking till what, like 4 in the morning at the hotel?
Something like that, yeah.
So it was
I passed out at one point. It's like, oh. Yep. Thanks, Chad C., for driving 2 hours over here just so I could pass out.
Right after opening a new beer. Yeah. You didn't even take a sip yet. You just passed the fuck out.
Yeah, when I grabbed my koozie when we left this morning, I was like, oh, that's a fucking full beer.
Yeah. Okay.
What an asshole.
I stayed up for a while. Had a couple more drinks of the one beer I had and just kind of finished that off. And, yeah, passed out watching, which is probably a good thing you were asleep, but Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah.
Either way, that would have put me to sleep.
Yep.
Even if I wasn't already asleep. What you're hearing is my heartbeat. It's irregular.
Yeah, you might want to get that checked out.
Let's see. Well, I think that's about it. We recorded long enough, I think.
Wrap that up for just the random center of the day talkings.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll check in tomorrow, probably on the road. Yeah. Wrap
up. Nice, long, just rambling podcast about everything.
We'll wrap up the music fest, and if we get into, like, movies or TV talk, which is bound to happen, I might use that for Monday Morning Moreno, so... This is just, so the music cast is just music and just the fest.
I think that's a good way to do it, yeah.
All right, we'll talk to you guys in a few.
Later.
I know exactly what you think you are. I know exactly what you think you are. You left your little notebook laying on the bar. I know exactly what you think you are. Everybody's saying that you're gonna go far. I know exactly what you think you are. I know exactly where you're going next. I know exactly where you're going next. Things are looking good for you, buddy. Oh yes, I know exactly where you're going next. You got the smile and the style and the sizzle and the sex. I know exactly where you're going next. Take it all.
We're going to reiterate all the same points.
2 hours into the ride. Oh, shit.
Oh, God. Well, it's not the first time that it's happened this weekend.
Nope. 2 days in a row.
We're back with day three wrap up. We basically just talked about day three for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes, and we weren't recording again. A lot of brain cells in my head are completely fried. They're not coming back. I've said goodbye to them, and we move on. Day three highlight, definitely Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band. A little three-piece outfit from Indiana, and doing, I would say, pretty traditional folk and blues music.
Yeah, I would totally agree. It's the way it's set up is you could easily see how the music they're playing would have been played 100 years ago. The only difference is really the addition of the electric guitar to it. But otherwise, I mean, he has a cigar box guitar. He's got his...
A three-string cigar box guitar.
Which was just gorgeous. Yeah, it was. Absolutely gorgeous. And then I can't remember what he named it, but his guitar from the 1930s, the old steel guitar he had, just, I mean, the way it looked was so gorgeous. And he was telling us how he actually just refurbished most of it himself and fixed it up, which I think shows you the level of quality and care they have to what has come before them. The fact that he's even going through and fixing up and really repairing a guitar that's, you know, 80, 90 years old. So he was, the energy that he brought, the three of them brought, on a stage in, you know, in the middle of a park in front of hundreds of people, and to bring that type of energy and command the crowd the way that it did, just absolutely blown away by what they were doing.
Commanded it by demanding it. I mean, he went, he from saying hello before the opening song, like, he made sure that we were gonna have a fucking good time, and we did. Yep. We had a fucking blast. Much like Southern Culture being the highlight of day two for me, it completely took me by surprise, and there's something to this Americana, folky, roots music that they just want you to have a fucking good time and put on a show, and there's a lot to be said for the simplicity of that.
Well, and you think of where that music came from. That music came from people having a good time. They didn't have TV. They didn't have radio. They, you know, a lot of this stuff. And all that music comes from, that's what people would do. They'd have a get-together at their house, and the group of people that could actually play instruments would play instruments, and everyone dance around them and stuff. And that's very much the feel that this was bringing. It was a community aspect. It was bringing everyone together and allowing them to dance, to move, to shout, to clap. And like you said, if you didn't do it, he would threaten to come down and body slam you. Because he is a huge man out there in his overalls, and definitely could have had a second life as a superhero. And I think I brought that up to you yesterday. Like, I would love to do like a Southern horror movie where he is your, basically your new version of an Ash, where he just gets to go out there and fight fucking demons, because it would be gorgeous. And I can imagine him actually doing it with the cigar box.
Oh, like a cigar box guitar weapon. Yep. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Indestructible. Yep. It would have to be.
The neck also has like part machete to it or something. Fuck yeah.
And then after he's done killing a horde or whatever, like, he goes into a musical interlude and just fucking jams out.
Well, I'm also thinking, what if we threw like a Thriller scene in there where he first mesmerized them by playing guitar? Because one thing, which I think I said this in the first recording, not in this recording yet, the way this motherfucker plays guitar is one of the most amazing things to watch. He actually mentions it in there. There's no bass player. So his thumb is what's always doing bass throughout the time he's playing. So as his thumb's constantly playing the bass lines, the rest of his fingers are actually working the rest of the guitar. It's fascinating. And just the way he moves, and you can watch him actually slapping the guitar, playing the frets, every single bit of it. Like, there's not a single wasted moment or movement.
Yeah, he definitely attacks the stage and uses the guitar in the way he does in your horror comic. Yeah, they were just fantastic. Like I said, a three-piece. The drummer actually had a spackle bucket as one of his drums. And the chick, who I believe is his wife,
Breezy,
plays the washboard and lights it on fire at the end of the fucking set. It was... It was so fucking rock and roll.
It was. And like, the way, like, just watching even the way she's playing the washboard and the movements and the way she keeps up, it's just everything about them, you just want to watch and kind of study, because they're, none of them waste a movement. And even the points where Breezy and the Rev will sit there and actually like sync up their movements in the middle of a song. Pot Roast and Kisses being a personal favorite in the way they were doing that. Just absolutely loved it. But even with that, which you know at some point they had to mention, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to get together and we're going to, you know, bend down, come up at the same time. You know it had to be established beforehand, but it doesn't come across that way. It just seems natural and them having fun and smiles throughout. Like, even when he's making the most aggressive, ridiculous faces, like he's about to destroy his guitar, you can tell, he's just having a blast up there.
Yeah, that's something that definitely comes through, is a genuine love of the music and performing for crowds. I mentioned this in the recording that wasn't recording, but it bears repeating. You know, bands that have a foot in the folk, Americana, bluegrass, blues world, bands like the Lumineers, like you mentioned Mumford & Sons, Edward Sharp.
Yep.
Reverend Peyton is who they're trying to be. And the level of authenticity that he brings, or the band themselves bring, is something that can't be manufactured. Like, it comes from the soul.
Completely. Yeah, it's there's a level, and it's why they do get bashed with the people who truly love the music, is there's an appreciation that they have, but they're also bastardizing the music in a way where they're making it intentionally poppy. They're making it homogenized and for the masses. But what they're losing is they're losing the heart that's involved. And when you see this, when you see them talk about Willie Dixon, when Reverend Payne was up on stage, and the way he's talking about Willie Dixon and the love and going into his history, you can tell that it's more than just, this is music that inspired this. He's talking because those are his idols. It's not the people that were making the records. It's not the people that were popular that did it. It was the people that inspired those. It's the people that were doing this because they were purely driven to do it, not just because they can make a buck.
Yeah, he's definitely playing in the tradition and not just playing off of his influences or using the influences to create a radio hit single or something like that.
And even when he covered the Willie Dixon song, you know, he's expressing, he's like, I'm just hoping to do the song justice. This is my version of it. He's like, as far as I'm concerned, this is the best blues song ever created. And I like, too, because he made mention of the fact that, you know, typically when we think of songwriters, we think of very heavy, long, stretched out lyrics. And I love that shit, so don't get me wrong. But he made mention, he's like, some of the best songwriters are the ones that can do it with the fewest words and convey the same emotions.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite anecdote of his.
Definitely. And, you know, he was true. And the song he played was absolutely fantastic. And I cannot remember its name right now. But
Falling Down Blues was one name of it.
I'm thinking of Can't Judge a Book by Looking at the Cover.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. That was it. Falling Down Blues was the other song he played by Furry Lewis. I think it was Furry Lewis was the other song, yeah. So I'm mixing up his references and his covers he played, but good Lord, I just absolutely awesome. And the musicianship that these three had was just mind-blowing.
Yeah, his guitar playing is just sick. Just sick. I was looking up some background info on them on Wikipedia, and which is what we all know to be true.
Yeah, of course.
Apparently, he had some kind of muscle or bone ailment in his fret hand, and the doctor told him he wouldn't be able to play guitar ever. So he gave up music for like 2 years until he got a second opinion, and some doctor completely fixed him.
If you watch him play, There's no issues with those hands. Like, that's ridiculous.
But I think this kind of goes along with the origin story of your superhero.
Oh, that's right. You know, we got to bring him up. So, Alex and I were witness to a famous local music scene legend by the name of Beetle Bob. And Beetle Bob, who I had never heard of before, and happened to post a video of him going up against the Go-Go Dancer from Southern Culture on the Skids. He is beyond legendary. And I looked up his Wikipedia page last night because I'm like, okay, I got to know the backstory of this guy. And it is possibly one of the most fascinating reads I've come across in a while. And supposedly over the last, I think it was like 10 years, he's seen over 100,000 live shows. And supposedly since 1996, he has gone to a live music concert every single night.
I can't even wrap my head around that.
No, not at all. It's like this guy lives and breathes music. And when you see him, he's dancing nonstop throughout every set. Sometimes maybe elbowing or kicking those around him. But, you know, it's one of the things said in the Wikipedia is people either love him or are annoyed by him.
Yeah.
And I get it, but just get out of his way. That much energy, that much joy. Let the guy dance his ass off, damn it.
And he was.
Oh,
I mean,
totally.
He's twisting, he's kicking, he's spinning around. I mean, he was rocking it out.
He's playing fake piano.
Yeah, he's playing air piano. It was fantastic. So that was Beetle Bob. We saw him pretty much every day. He was in the VIP pits, and we were wondering, how does he get a VIP, a 3-day VIP pass? And I would imagine it has to be some vendor or somebody in the production of it. Like, I'm sure that's how he gets to go to all these shows.
It has to be. And, like, you could see every band up on stage witnessing him and just kind of pointing him out. Like, Breezy from Reverend Peyton's actually yelled over to their sound guy. She's like, Beetle Bob! So, and what I noticed by posting on Facebook, too, is how many of my friends that are in the music scene all completely knew who he was. And
they all love him.
Oh, completely, yeah. It's really interesting. And the one other thing, going back to that that whole legend of Beetle Bob thing. So supposedly on Wikipedia, the way he got his name is not the way you would expect, because he's got a very Beatles mod type haircut, which you just assume, okay, that's what got it. Supposedly, when he was in grade school, he went to a Catholic school in St. Louis, and while reading, or supposed to be reading, one of his school books, he was reading a magazine and an article about the Beatles. And the nun caught him, came over and took it away from him, and goes, I can't remember the exact quote, but it's basically like, you're not supposed to be doing that, Beetle Bob. And ever since, this nickname Beetle Bob stuck from when he was a young kid in grade school. So, yeah, I don't know if we can really believe that, but I'm going to.
I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. Day three started off with church and taking in the Blind Boys of Alabama. As we mentioned in the recording that nobody would hear, I'm going to reiterate that or restate that I was not feeling all that hot, and I kind of wanted to just sit on the lawn and listen to some Blind Boys. But you're like, they've been around for 70 years. And that kind of, that gave me the energy to go up. Because when you see living legends like that, and you have a chance to get 15 feet in front of them and listen to them, you take that chance.
Yep. Yeah, it was really interesting. And so one of the things, again, I brought up that nobody got to hear was what I found absolutely mesmerizing is the way they were able to harmonize. Most bands, when they're harmonizing, they'll look at each other, use visual cues to actually set up when they're both kicking in, or, you know, multiple people. Like we saw at one point, Oh Hellos had six people harmonizing. So, but everybody's looking at each other. They know when to go. And in case you weren't able to interpret from the name of the band, the four main guys from this are blind. And so they don't have the ability to have visual cues as to when they're kicking in. But their harmonies are so tight. And every one of their voices is so unique and covers different octaves. It's it's an ear orgasm to sit there and listen to them.
Yeah, I didn't. It's not that I wasn't looking forward to them, but you know, just being in front of them was a real fucking treat. Really, really dug them. After that, we kind of made our way to the other stage, the Missouri lot. Yeah, and then yeah, we took in Reverend Peyton, and then got some food, came back over to see G Love and Special Sauce, and were annoyed his entire set.
Completely annoyed. Annoyed is putting it lightly. The essence of douche that coated his set was insane. The guys from Philadelphia, and I don't typically like to bash, but it just this goes beyond it. Guys from Philadelphia, you don't have a Southern accent. Where this Southern accent came from, I have no idea. All of a sudden, songs that he's been playing, you know, for 20 years, he has a Southern accent on here. It was just, it really felt like placating or almost kind of even making fun of what was going on there. And,
yeah, I call it pandering.
Yeah. Oh, totally. But pandering, like, that's almost putting it nicely. Yeah. Like, it was just, it was beyond just low class to see what he was doing. And, you know, I mean, there are plenty of people who are getting into it. I guess this is his second year at the festival, and fair enough. But I think I refer to him as, like, John Mayer before John Mayer existed. It was, you know, he was relevant quite a while ago. I don't know when he put out his last album out. To me, he didn't even play my favorite song of his that was, you know, I actually like. It just, everything about it seemed phony and fake, and you could just, he's a, like a bro. He's a frat guy.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say that. He seemed like a frat guy trying to do this scene. And, it's going in and out. For trained ears, as we have, we could hear right through that bullshit.
Oh, totally. And one of the things that kind of sucks is when he was playing guitar, when he was doing certain things, you could tell there is talent there. I'm not trashing the fact that he's talent, but he's kind of like what we were talking before, comparing Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band to, you know, the Mumford and Sons and Lumineers. It was the same thing with him where it just, everything about it, like, he's got to have some knowledge, but it's not, it doesn't come across as real. It doesn't come across as the love being there. And especially after just seeing a band just blow the stage away and the crowd getting all into it, just to see this guy up there just kind of acting like a fucking goof. I couldn't take it.
So that douchiness aside, he mercifully ends his set. Stop interrupting my podcast.
We're getting on 55 in case anyone was worried about us.
The Avett brothers came on and from song one just tore up the stage. This first time for me seeing them. I know of them. I've heard a lot of their stuff. But as you were mentioning yesterday, their catalog is just so deep that, I mean, I just didn't know a lot of the songs that they were playing, but that didn't even matter because they just killed it.
Totally. That was one of those things where I could see people misunderstanding and even putting them kind of with a in the same category as maybe a Mumford & Sons or Lumineers. I think you'd have to see them live to truly understand. There's a lot going on there. And the way they're able to change up the songs and make it, I mean, I want to say there were 8 people on stage for them. High energy. Just, again, seeing that passion, that drive that's existing up there. And yes. Okay, don't worry, guys. I'm taking the right exit. We're all good. She's probably going to talk again in a couple seconds, so let's just all wait, make sure that she guides us on her way.
Shut your mouth, lady.
But with Avett, so this is my second time seeing them.
Continue for 3/4 of a mile.
There's where we're at. And the first time I saw them was at
the absolutely legendary Red Rocks in Colorado, which is one of my favorite places in the world to see a show. And
use the right lane to merge onto I-55 South.
And a giant bug just hit the windshield too. You would have heard that if she wasn't talking. I think we got one more little voiceover that's coming through in a second. And sorry, she has to interrupt because I want to get us home. So that's just kind of what we're dealing with.
Yeah, that's totally.
To merge onto I-55 South, I-70.
We got it, lady.
Once we get on this, we're on this the whole way though, so we're good.
Cool.
So I'd seen them at Red Rocks, and it, as great as it was, they were headlining. What ended up happening was there ended up being
Take exit 18.
Why are you having?
Yeah, no, we're not taking exit.
She just tried to make me get off on some random side road in Troy, Illinois.
Use the left lane to keep left, then turn left onto the ramp to I-55 North.
Left.
Continue on I-55 South for 1 mile.
Oh, no, see, we did get on the wrong one.
We're
going I-55 South. That's why she wanted us to turn around.
Oh, okay. You're forgiven.
We need to get on I-55 North.
You're forgiven, lady.
Yeah. So this is why you shouldn't be doing a podcast while driving, in case anybody was wondering.
That's all right.
Yeah. It only added 5 minutes to our ride. It's not too big.
No biggie.
In a half mile,
so
take
you
exit
talk
17
for, a bit.
For U.S. 40 okay. East towards St. Jacob Island.
I can't turn her off. You want to pause it?
You talk for a bit.
We'll let her talk.
You know, yesterday, day three, I think was the most amount of people that we saw at the festival.
Hands down. Agreed.
Take
and
exit
it's
17.
Interrupting twat. And I think the majority of the people there were there for the Ava Brothers.
Yes, definitely. And you could see a much younger crowd.
Half mile.
You know what I can do? I could actually turn that down if I was smart. though at that volume, I'm still going in the wrong direction. So, you know, maybe I need to turn it up louder.
Yeah, it was a much younger crowd.
I'd like to see that didn't tip over and spill any water.
It's spilling water.
Oh, that spilled a lot of water.
Yeah, it's kind of pooling down there. That's all right.
Isn't this fascinating, everybody?
Yeah.
The cooler tipped over and there's water everywhere. Yeah, it was
a mess right in the middle. Fucking mess.
Talking about the headlining closer for the whole festival, and we're talking about coolers and shit.
In a half mile, turn right on.
All right, I'm gonna pause it.
Yeah.
All right, we're back.
Continue on.
Hold on.
There.
No, I was gonna say, because she says Indianapolis as Indianapolis, and that was fucking weird. So, all right, we're back on the highway, the right highway. Also, and I don't know if you've heard this before, but life is a highway.
It is.
Yeah, I want to ride it all night long.
I don't. I want to be home before that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so, we were discussing the Ava Brothers, the crowd. It was obvious to me that the influx of people was for the Ava Brothers. I mean, that's all I saw was just Ava Brothers shirts everywhere.
And I think that's what brought in the younger crowd that was there, where we had kind of made comments for being in a college town, we weren't seeing that younger college audience, where you definitely saw it near the end of the night. And it felt like a lot of people didn't even come to see the earlier bands, where even if I don't know bands, if I'm paying for a ticket, I'm going to come see the opening acts, or it's not even opening acts, it's other acts of a festival. But it felt like there were people who just showed up just to watch the Avett Brothers. And fine, that's cool that's somebody you really like. But I just wish they would have been there for a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Indianapolis. Yep. Nice.
So maybe I should get back to that story before I went the wrong direction.
Oh, the Red Rocks?
Yeah. So as great as the Red Rocks was, the problem that ended up occurring is if a storm hits while you're at Red Rocks, there's no coverage, you're in a mountain. And it wasn't so much the rain itself that is the problem. It's when the wind starts whipping around, it really affects the sound. And if you're going to see Avett Brothers, which I think we definitely experienced last night, the sound, the harmonizing, there's so much subtlety in their music that really just hits home and really drives their sound to you. That by having wind whipping around, it was really just it was ruining the set. And it stinks, you know. But that's Mother Nature. That's what occurs. It easily could have happened where, you know, we might not have had great weather this whole weekend. It could have had storms the whole time, and it could have been screwing with the noise. There's nothing you can do. Last night, though, everything was on point. It was so much better of an experience. I wasn't freezing cold in a mountain. I could hear every bit of what was going on when they're harmonizing. Just, it was beautiful.
Yeah, you know, that's going to take me to my next point of the highlight for the whole festival was the sound. Like, their sound was, the festival sound, it was mixed right. Even way back from the stage, like, you could still hear it, and it was crisp. So huge props to them and their sound technicians and their audio engineers, because it's probably one of the better sounding festivals I've ever been to.
Really agree. Yeah, it's and everything seemed to set up really smooth. Where I had been at Riot Fest, and Riot Fest honestly was set up well, and it was nice. You were seeing a lot of minor sound issues going on, but it's kind of what's to be expected because you only have so much time in between bands. You're trying to hurry up, set everything up, sound check, whatnot. And, you know, at Riot Fest, I want to say you were getting an average of probably about 45 minutes between bands on a stage. I don't think it was, maybe a few times it was as small as a half hour. Well, here it was always only a half hour window.
Yeah.
And in that half hour, they got everything set up, going. You know, I wasn't noticing any glitches. The only times I was seeing any glitches or hearing any glitches was it was somebody on Saturday. I can't remember who it was, but there was like an open mic while they were setting up. They kept on getting like heavy
sleep. Oh yeah.
But that's not what anyone's playing, so it that really didn't matter. It was just kind of annoying, just waiting there and hearing static. And then we were making jokes that kids won't understand that TVs used to do that. So it the sound was superb, and especially with the types of bands that we're playing, and with how varied, and, you know, going from blues, going to very simple, subtle roots music, to very loud, boisterous roots music, acoustic guitars to electric guitars, you know, the three pieces up to nine pieces, and everything seemed pretty flawless.
Yeah, just a fantastic time all around. And we really lucked out with weather. I mean, it was pretty muggy the first couple of days. Yesterday, it just turned out to be like a really nice day. But the threat of rain was always there, and that could have got really, really messy.
Oh, it would have been disgusting. Even the third day, we went into the merch tent. And the merch tent had been covered with, you know, it was a tent. It was completely covered all weekend long. You know, it hadn't rained anything else, but just from people walking through there and the slight bit of heat that occurred on Sunday, the humidity, the dampness from the ground, you could almost smell that mud in the ground while being in there. So you can only imagine if it had truly rained and soaked that, even with the really nice coverage of grass, and they left the grass a little long, I'm sure, just in case it did rain, but it would have gotten soupy real quick.
Yeah, that would have been really gross.
Plus, when you think about it too, it's on a slight incline. So everything, when you're way back, you can actually look down at the stages. So if it had been raining, just think of all that water coming down that hill and pooling by the VIP area. It would not have been VIP quick.
No, we totally lucked out. It was awesome. Well, I think that's going to do it for our coverage of the Roots and Blues and Barbecue Music Fest, Columbia, Missouri. My first time here. Would love to come back next year.
Definitely agree. I think we probably mentioned that on one of the other days. I had no inkling that this existed, let alone that a fest like this was pulling this level of talent. And, I you know, now hearing who had played previously, John Prine, Lucero, it sounded like, who else? Isabel had played before. You know, they are getting this top-tier talent in Columbia, Missouri, and they know how to put on a fest.
Absolutely. Yeah, everything was organized really well. The food vendors were fantastic, set up really nice, and all the volunteers were super helpful and nice. Everything, that's the biggest thing I can say about this whole experience, is that everybody was just fucking nice, man. And that's a huge change from, you know, a festival in Chicago where there's a lot of douchey-douchies.
Totally. It's normally at the big fest, you always have the people who are pushing their way through, and even in the best ones, you just expect that to happen. It never felt like anybody was just thinking of themselves there. And even though you could say, okay, well, you were spoiled based on, you know, the level you were going in there and watching it at, and I get that, but even watching the crowds behind, it seemed like everybody was just there to have a chill, good time, and nobody was there kind of saying fuck everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks to our contact, Joe, who hooked us up beyond measure. She was fantastic.
She was. And, you know, it's weird how sometimes through chance encounters you meet somebody that, you know, it really turns out to be just absolutely awesome. And she was, and I thought she was awesome before any of this happened. I'm still blown away that she believed in us enough to offer us this opportunity.
Yeah, it was so fucking cool. So cool. Go to the article on bingemedia.net for this podcast. I'm going to throw up a few pictures and look out for your coverage on Wannabe.
Yeah, I'm thinking by the end of the week I'd like to get it out. I'm going to do a mixed media, my standard, you know, comic style drawings, but I'm going to use for all the backgrounds the pictures I took throughout the fest and just kind of go through a full review that way.
Oh, that's awesome. And where can people see that?
You can check that out at wannabethecomic.com.
And Wannabe, a
six-panel music blog. It was the easiest way. It was too hard to try and explain to people, oh, I'm a music blog that does it in comic form.
Yeah.
So six-panel music blog is the best way to do it.
Yeah. That's what it's listed under on Facebook.
Correct.
So make sure to follow that. Okay, guys, until next time, we will talk to you guys later. See ya.
Later.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at bingemedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at bingemedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of soup.
Bob O'Girl.